about 2 hours for regular.
Okay. Three, time three then.
I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission, Thursday, March 27th, 2014, to order. First item of business is approve previous meeting minutes.
Motion for approval of January 27th, February 20th, and February 27th. Do you want the executive session March 6th? Right. March. Those are regular.
Yes.
Right. But I just asked the question.
We'll do them separate.
We'll do them separate. March the 6th, 17th, 20th, and 24th. And
let's.
Those are the regular.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve County Commission minutes dated January 27th, February 20th, 27th, and March 6th, 17th, 20th, and 24th. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Give Brandon just a moment.
Yeah. All right. Executive session minutes January 2nd, 21st, 27th, February 18th, 20th, 24th, 27th, March 6th, 10th, 17th, and 20th with correction.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve executive session minutes dated January 2nd, 21, 27, February 18, 20, 24, 27, and March 6th, 10, 17, and 20. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. MoDOT, good morning. Good afternoon. I don't see you in the afternoon, so I missed it. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Is it going to snow today?
I hope not.
Should we get more salt?
Yeah, a little bit, not much. We're waiting to do our true stockpiling whenever the prices go back down and the supply goes back up. So we'll have a new contract for next year. So, and we've discussed it statewide. We use a 10-year average for our salt supply, and I think because of the spikes that we see every few years, they're going to do a 10 to 20% adjustment to that, adjusted upward, because the average was working pretty good for us except for this year, so they decided maybe we need to have a little bit more cushion there. So you can't buy for the extreme, but you can kind of try to plan for it a little bit better.
Well, I hope we don't see this anymore.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe that'll buy us some insurance. You know how that goes.
Yes.
Go ahead and stockpile and you won't ever see it again. So that's what I'm hoping, but we'll see. Got a few things going on this month. Met with the people at Big Cedar about the PGA tournament that's coming up in June.
Mm-hmm.
They made initial contact with us to talk about traffic control, so I was glad to see them taking the initiative on that. And we'll be meeting again with them next week to go over some initial plans that they've got for their traffic management for that tournament, because that'll be a entire week of activities with the majority of them happening, I think, the first full weekend in June. So,
do they have any kind of estimate on how many people?
They said 10,000.
10,000.
So, and I assume that was on the peak weekends each day, because that's what he was planning for traffic-wise, was about 10,000 people. So I'm not sure what the total attendance will be. They've got different things besides just the golf tournament going on. So
they have a whole series of events for people in this part of the country to have the opportunity to see the people that are going to be here. We could be really surprised with the number.
I think that's what they're anticipating.
All the old greats are coming, and yep, as well as a lot of the senior PGA Tour members.
Yeah, I think this is the first time they've done the Tournament of Champions in a few years or something like that, I was reading. So they said it was going to be more significant than some of the events they've had in the past with the senior tour. So.
It's the legends of
yes,
golf.
There you go, yeah.
Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino and Arnold Palmer. That's going to be her Gary Player, I mm-hmm. think.
And I believe they've got a 5-year commitment for that, so that'll be really nice. And the school's going to be, College of the Ozarks is going to be heavily involved with that, because they'll be the benefactor of the charitable mm-hmm. Distribution from that, so that'll be really nice too.
Be nice to draw some of the volunteers from there out.
Yeah. He said that they actually said that on their volunteers, they usually have volunteers that pay to be volunteers, which sounded kind of strange, but he said we found that, you know, if people pay $50, $75 and we give them a T-shirt and we feed them, they show up. Where if you just take volunteers that don't pay in, that they don't usually show up. So that's pretty good screening technique. So anyway, it was very interesting, something we've never dealt with. But we have dealt with traffic control for other events, so
sure,
I think it'll go pretty smoothly. They've got a few challenges there because what they are calling the Buffalo Ridge, which used to be Branson Creek, you know, we've just got a left turn lane there. We don't have a signal. We don't have an interchange. So we're trying to figure out what the best traffic pattern is to manage that. And then, of course, they've got some parking and some things they're going to do down off of 86. So we've got some site concerns as far as there's where they're going to be at. There's a big curve that traffic has to come around. So there'll be a lot of they're making plans for a lot of advance warning, you know, some changeable message boards, things that we use like when we have construction projects. So
are they thinking about moving some of those people from the academy that he's?
I'm not sure where they're, you know, placing everybody, but I do know that that's where they're planning on parking is where they're working on the academy there to the south of the road.
Right.
And so they're actually planning on creating some parking lots and things before the event. So right now it's basically just woods. So they've got a lot of things to do, but every time I go by there, it looks like a giant anthill. There's trucks and earth-moving equipment and everything else just everywhere. So I know that they're pretty dedicated to getting it all perfect before things come along. So I'd say that if anybody could do it, they can.
I'd say you're right.
They look very busy. So that's one thing we've got going. We also had a SimCog had a priority transportation meeting here a couple of weeks ago for Taney County, where they asked people to give them their highest priorities as far as road and bridge, pedestrian needs, transit needs, freight and rail needs. And so we had a pretty good turnout, not a large group, but probably about between a dozen and 20 people, I'd say, probably closer to a dozen. So, and that was the first meeting that I had attended for my area. So I thought it went well. We had it mediated by someone that's kind of a neutral third party, and she did a good job of managing the meeting and kind of asking people questions and finding out what their priorities would be for transportation. Branson had a good representation there. They were you know, really wanting to get that Complete Street project done and, you know, looking for ways to finance it. So they were pretty active on the roadway side, but also on the pedestrian, the transit side, because they've got all three of those types of improvements planned for that 76 Boulevard. So it'll be a major undertaking.
So is there no way for that project to continue with the state share of that issue, or?
I am not sure where they're at funding-wise right now. I went to their last meeting, I believe. Would have been about a month ago with the city council, and the consultant was there, and they talked about financing. And he gave them several different scenarios, and I believe that the council basically has kind of been chewing on that and trying to figure out which scenario they want to go with. And it varied in methods for funding, but it also varied in how long the project would be, you know, how many phases they would break the project into, because they're basically looking at going from 65 all the way up to Shepherd of the Hills, mm-hmm. Complete improvements throughout with 8-foot boulevards and buried utilities, trolley stops, some additional signalized intersections, some pedestrian crossings, you know, significant improvements. And the total for all of those improvements along that 5-mile corridor was about $80 million. So they're just trying to figure out, you know, if they want to stick with that budget and try to phase it in, or if they need to cut that budget back, and, you know, what changes would they make if they cut the budget back, that type of thing. And, yes, they were disappointed because our cost share program has been put on hold right now. But that was something that we hadn't applied for yet, so it wasn't guaranteed funds. So it was just something that we were hoping that we could pursue. So. Talked about the Branson funding. The next thing I had on my list, or actually the last thing, was the Highway 76 overlay. That's the that and the correction of the curve between 265 and 465 is really the only major construction project we've got in the area this summer. And so I just wanted to remind you guys again that that'll be coming up. We haven't had our pre-construction conference yet, and the low bidder was APAC. It's been awarded to APAC. But I don't know what their schedule is yet because they haven't had the pre-construction conference. But I do know it will be night work, and it goes all the way from Branson West all the way over through Branson to Highway 65. But the entire length will be night work. We'll have a 1-inch overlay from Branson West, Business 13 in Branson West, all the way to Shepherd of the Hills. And then from Shepherd of the Hills over to 65, it will be a mill and fill to match back up with the curb and gutter there. So,
but the point between Silver Dollar City or 265 and
465 is like an S curve, and
right.
We're going to make that kind of into just a.
Is that a separate project, or is that part
of that? It's a separate project. It will not bid until May, but they'll have to coordinate. They'll probably just skip that area with the overlay is, I think, what we've got planned because that work won't start until this fall. And so our overlay should be completed, so we'll just accept that area out, and then they'll just have to tie
will
it
in. Will that be night work also?
I would expect it to be, yeah. Just because of the impact to traffic. Night work from, I think it's like on the stretch coming into Branson, I think it's like 7 in the evening to 7 in the morning, and then the stretch that's actually in Branson will be 11:30 at night until about 7:30 in the morning. So, and we're going to try to urge them, if it'll fit into their schedule, we'd like to see them get Branson done fairly quickly, because we know that even though we're limiting the number of hours they can be out there, that we've still got, you know, hotels and things along the strip, and so we'd like to manage that disturbance as much as possible. So. But for us to be able to get good bids, we usually just we use our usual approach to asphalt projects, which is basically they have the window from April to October, and so they'll just have to tell us when they want to do it. We give them the hours. We can restrict the hours, but we hate to restrict the time because it sends the prices way up when we do that. So. And the only other thing I didn't have on my list, but I just thought of it, was we are in the process of updating and upgrading the signs there at 160 and F. I know you all had expressed some concerns about that. Right now, the stop ahead signs have been doubled up, so they're on both sides. and the stop signs have been doubled up. So there's two stop signs instead of just one. There's one on the other side. And I think they have moved the arrow board. There's a yellow arrow board that has arrows on both sides. I think that's been moved, but I wasn't for sure on that. They still have to put in some additional curve signs, because now that F to 160 is the through movement, that curve kind of catches people by surprise, and so we're actually going to put curve signs up to warn people that there's a curve there. And I think there was some destination boards, and the green boards with the white lettering. I think some of those were going to get moved to where they were in a better location for visibility. So they did just kind of an audit of the entire intersection by our traffic division, and they kind of moved some stuff around and doubled some stuff up and added some curve signs just to make sure that everybody understood what was going on out there. So,
well, the two stop signs is visible, I'll tell you that. It's hard to miss them now.
Good. Well, when I came through there yesterday morning, they hadn't doubled up on the stop ahead signs, but they told me they did that yesterday afternoon. So I haven't been through there since, but they did tell me they'd done that. So that made me feel good, because usually when we put an additional sign on your left on a two-lane highway, people notice those because it's something different. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that will help. And then Commissioner Williams had asked me to look at a safety concern he had out at the college there at Business 65 and County Road 165, the signalized intersection there. And we're in the process of reviewing that. I did speak to Mr. Keeter, and he had expressed some concern when that project originally got put in. He felt like sidewalks should have been put in at that time. So we'll just have to do some research, see where we're at as far as what can be done out there to make it better. And then once we've done a little bit more research, I'll probably talk to all parties concerned, and because we'll have to find a funding source. But that intersection right now is not lit at night, and we have college students coming across there in the dark.
All the time.
Yeah. And there's not really a crosswalk there. There's a crosswalk if they want to go down Business 65 towards old downtown Hollister, but there's not a crosswalk if they want to go to McDonald's and the gas station. And so it just ends up, you know, when we put it in, all the development was downtown, but once it went in, the new outer road there, development has occurred there, and so the natural pedestrian traffic has changed, of course. That's how it usually happens. But so we are working on that.
Thank you.
And I think that's it. Pretty long list today.
Danny?
No.
Sure?
Is this two times in a row? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you mark that down?
Probably get struck by lightning when I leave here or something.
Well, I've got some. Oh, wait, no.
We appreciate you.
Real quick, I was talking to Beth a little bit about that one intersection. Like you said, there's no light. There's always students walking through there, and I know there's been some concern of nothing's happened yet. I think there's been a few close calls, and anyways.
Yeah, and so we're looking into the original plans and trying to figure out where we've got conduit already in the ground, and they were looking at whether they could just upgrade the existing lights to a brighter light.
Yeah.
But I think they're too far apart. What we'll end up doing is creating these light islands, and then you'll have this dark space in the middle. So
that might even make it worse.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you've got this blind spot from it being really bright to really dark, so we don't want to do that. So we'll probably have to look at adding some additional lighting at the actual intersection. So, but I will keep you updated on that, because we've got to do a little bit more digging before I really know what is going to be involved. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
No other questions?
Have a good day.
An alien has inhabited Danny. I don't know who's down. Mr. Soutee, City of Hollister funding agreements.
He's had lunch, so he's content.
Dan is. Thanks, Beth.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First of all, I'd like to introduce Mr. Terry Brashears. I didn't know if you gentlemen knew Terry or not. He's been with the City of Hollister for several years and recently got promoted to Utilities Director.
Director of Public Works.
Of Public Works.
Yes.
And working on the funding agreements now for the city of Hollister with me and stuff, so just wanted to introduce him. Hollister has submitted two funding agreements for your review and hopefully approval. One is in regards to a SCADA system upgrade. SCADA, standing for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. And the other one is for an upgrade to the main electrical breaker that controls the power coming into the wastewater treatment facility. I'm not going to address these individually, or
I think if you would do it that way, that would be the best.
Okay. The SCADA system, basically the SCADA system itself is a computer software program that serves as a monitoring system for the wastewater facility. It allows the operator to manipulate and control certain functions within the wastewater facility, and it also serves as the warning and alarm system for the wastewater facility, in which if there's a problem with the plant operation, it can signal a call out to specified people that's programmed into it. It monitors the dissolved oxygen levels and other parameters within the wastewater process. It's a very important component to the facility. What happened was the computer system that runs this software failed, and the city of Hollister is using a process that was developed by Tom Snyder, who has developed similar software and similar operations for other facilities in the area. In looking at it, it was determined that the computer was bad, and the updated software that his company now provides required the purchase of a new computer system to be able to operate the software. And the total cost of this request is $8,478. Hollister has already went ahead and purchased the software and made these upgrades. Mr. Ziegenfuss had sent me a letter back some time ago explaining the importance of the software and of this program. And due to the importance of the program, he looked at it as an emergency situation for the wastewater plant and went ahead and made those purchases and those upgrades. At that time, we were working with Pat Kack to update the funding agreement.
Yes.
And so we weren't processing any funding agreements at that time. Now that we're back on track, we've processed that funding agreement, and Hollister's requesting approval of it so they can get reimbursed for those expenses. Do you have anything to add to it?
No, I think you pretty well sums it up.
Okay.
And I see that at least on one of these documents, the attorney for Taney County,
yes,
Jill, representing, has signed it.
Should have mentioned that, yeah. Jill Patterson, working with Pat Keck, has reviewed each of these agreement requests and has approved the form of those requests.
Can we look at it?
No.
You got it. Do you want to talk about the main breaker upgrade yet, or do we have to focus on this one?
I'm looking for the second. Oh, here it is. Yeah, let's work on this agreement first.
Move to approve the intergovernmental funding agreement between Taney County, Missouri, and the City of Hollister for the Hollister Wastewater Treatment Plant Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition System Project.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the intergovernmental funding agreement between Taney County and the City of Hollister for the Hollister Wastewater Treatment Plant Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition System Project. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. John, if you will start on the next.
Okay. The main breaker upgrade project is the power that comes into the wastewater treatment plant from the commercial supplier, which is Empire Electric, comes into this breaker. It's probably more of an energizer than it is a breaker. You know, this is a very large piece of equipment that handles that extreme load of power that comes into the plant. I guess approximately a month or so ago, there was a trip, or one of the motors that controls a piece of equipment had tripped and caused this main breaker to trip, which under normal circumstances, that shouldn't have happened. The city had their electrician come and do a evaluation of that breaker, which he seems to think that the breaker is getting weak and is in need of replacement. The breaker takes several weeks to have one reconditioned and one refurbished. The city had made a movement to go ahead and have that done. They have purchased the breaker now, and they purchased the fuses, and there's some other pieces of equipment that they had to purchase for the installation of this new breaker unit. They haven't had it installed yet, but they're preparing to do that next week, and that's why they're requesting approval of this funding agreement to pay for those costs.
Warranties on a reconditioned one versus a new one.
You know, I don't have the information right at my disposal right now. This was done during Dale Hyatt when he was still the wastewater supervisor down there. I can get those for you. But
I'm just curious if it's a huge price difference versus a.
I don't think they don't manufacture the new ones any longer. You have to go with the reconditioned.
Yeah, okay.
That's exactly what the situation was.
I was curious. Yeah. Move to approve the intergovernmental funding agreement by and between Taney County, Missouri and the City of Hollister for the Hollister Wastewater Treatment Plant Main Electrical Breaker Upgrade Project.
I'll second with discussion.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the intergovernmental funding agreement between Taney County, Missouri and the City of Hollister for the Hollister Wastewater Treatment Plant Main Electrical Breaker Upgrade Project as presented. Discussion?
I have a question and probably already been answered in maybe one of the meetings that I missed, but are the cost of these improvements, are they percentaged out as to the usage by the city? I'm talking about maintenance cost. A percentage based upon the maintenance cost of what the city usage is and the county's participation in their cost of the buy-in that we have as far as the intake that we've already bought for, you understand, the capacity. Do they do a percentage or do they just take a piece of equipment that is at least just worn out stage and turn in a bill for it? I'm interested to see from maybe now on or investigate a little bit more about, because our usage as a county and other entities would be a percentage versus the full cost. And it's something that I would like to see estimated when a bill is turned into us, especially for a maintenance item such as the breaker, which I'm familiar with. You know, they may last in may last 20, 25 years, or they may last for a couple of years and still have the same impact as far as the breakdown of the breaker, and also on the computer thing. I don't know as much about how it operates as far as the internal components. If you have to buy a new system where you have a breaker that can be replaced, but in the computer systems, as fast changing as all that is, but I'd like to see a percentage breakdown of usage, and we'll look for that in the future. I mean, I will be looking at that before I make a motion on such things in the future.
Yeah, I would say, when the wastewater plant was built, there were definitely percentages of responsibility as far as the contribution of funding into the plant and the capacity that the county purchased and projected with the sewer district. The agreement, the last time I looked at the current agreement at that time, if there was any upgrades to the wastewater plant that was required by new regulation by the Department of Natural Resources or the Environmental Protection Agency, then the district would be compelled or asked to contribute their proportionate share of those costs. Some of these other things, just on the wastewater plant components, it's Hollister's responsibility to charge a rate, sufficient enough to properly operate that facility. But I can do an exercise to show what that percentage of responsibility of the cost would be.
In future tracking, I'd like to know percentage-wise the length of time, so on and so forth, that we have on a maintenance issue that would be looked at as far as payment by the utility versus payment by the county. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's my only it's actually not even a question. It's just something I'd like to see in the future.
Okay.
John, if I understand what I read in the agreement, we're approving an amount up to $16,000.
Yes.
Is that what it's estimated to cost? Are we hoping that it will cost somewhat less than that?
We've got two known costs that are close to $15,000 because they have purchased the breaker unit and they have purchased the fuses. The one remaining cost is just the labor to install those components, and we don't know for sure what that's going to be yet until they get that work done. But they couldn't surpass the $16,000 without coming back and requesting some additional funds. Anything that they don't spend, of course, wouldn't be reimbursed to the city because they have to go through the approval process for each reimbursement. So those funds not utilized would just remain within the account.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. John, I will run these through Nikki, and she'll get the other appropriate signatures, and then we will move forward.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Congratulations on your new position, I think.
I'm not maybe quite as vocal or eloquent as what Rick is, so.
I can never get Rick to say anything.
Oh. He's a different gentleman to talk to. Thank you.
See you guys.
I'm sorry?
I said, haven't we already taken care of the next?
Yeah, it was on twice.
Right.
Mr. Starrett, if you could join us. I had asked Scott on two or three projects that he's working for us, if he could give us an update on where we're at. Thank you, sir.
Just
bringing you some good news today. A couple of things. If you remember back, we had the three outstanding transfer station items. Update the operations manual and update and label the site plan. Those two tasks were completed, and by December 12, 2013, for a total of $15,580. Then the third task was to install doors on the transfer station. This was completed, and the county received the approval letter, which I gave you, dated February 21st, 2014. This really, even though I had the point on this, this was a culmination, and kudos to the commission, Randy Hayes, the transfer station staff, and then the construction crew, Steve Biggs and Delmer Jennings. We did that for $8,283, and if you remember, we had an outstanding bid with the DNR that's over $100,000 for a door. So
it was closer to $200,000, wasn't it?
Well, I remembered about $180,000, but I couldn't find it for a king. So
that was what we were faced with when I came on. And congratulations, Scott. That's a huge, huge savings for the county.
Yeah, thanks.
That's big.
Yeah.
Thanks for your kudos, but we know who did most of the work.
It was a cooperative effort by
everybody. I know, you and Randy and the others.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. That's great.
Thanks. And then the second item I had, Randy asked me about checking on a grant for a tire-changing machine and an air compressor to break down the tires from the rims that they receive at the transfer station. And a carport to be used along with one of the trailers we got from District N, which was a $100 one-time fee for each trailer. He wants to set one of those recycle trailers at the transfer station and put a carport over the table, like's out here at the mechanic shop. So I wrote the grant, first one I'd written, and submitted it, and the District M board approved it for $5,700, which is the total amount for the equipment. It's got one more approval. The DNR has to approve, so once I get that approval, then I'll be ordering that equipment for the transfer station. So I was pretty happy with that.
The, if I'm not mistaken, District N had four?
There were seven grants that totaled $78,000.
How many did we get in this area?
We got all four of them.
The four that were available?
Yeah, in Taney County. That's the ones that were approved. Three of the four, I'm sorry. City of Aurora got one, partial grant. But the three Taney County ones, there's one from Hollister Schools, City of Branson, and then Taney County. They were all fully funded. So.
Excellent.
Yep. So that's what I had to bring today. The second part of that sheet I gave you was just email correspondence with the DNR about placing the carport at the transfer station. That as long as we keep the recyclables separate from the solid waste, where they're not separating, then that's fine.
So there's no issue then with DNR?
Nope.
Scott, I'd like to personally thank you for this update and for what you've done on these particular projects. Also, I know that we have a heavy load on your shoulders as far as some of the other discussions that are executive session discussions concerning buildings and projects and real estate, so on and so forth. So I want to personally thank you for your hard work on these.
Thanks, appreciate it. Yeah, thanks.
It's a long time coming on this of the stuff, and it all came at one time.
Yeah, it all came at one time, but I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah.
I'll send you some pictures when we...
If we decide to do something different other than the $8,000 plus fixed to the $180,000 original projected cost to us, we're going to have to go back through process with DNR, I'm assuming, to do something different there at the transfer station?
What we've been talking about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the movement of buildings or something different like
if,
that, I don't
if
think
if the county ever goes that direction.
Right. If they ever go that direction, I think we just have to notify them. We would have to update the site plan in the flow. If the operations changed, I'm sure. But once we've got this, it'll be easy to do amendments to it. We just send them amendment to our manual. So the main costs are over.
Gentlemen, do you have any questions of Mr. Sterrett?
Okay. Well,
thank you, Scott.
Thanks for letting me talk today. Yep.
Ron, we'll make a note to put him on executive session for Monday's meeting. When we come to that part.
Next issue is County Recplex. The as I had mentioned some time ago, the number one issue that I've been approached with over the course of my tenure as presiding commissioner this last 3 years and 3 months has been the possibility of the county getting involved in a recplex for the county, if you will. There are a number of people from the far eastern side of the county, Pro Tem and Bradleyville, Cedar Creek, even Taneyville, that obviously have a very long drive to get their children and grandchildren and or seniors that are interested in the recplex in Branson because it's such a travel and such a long way to go. Would the county consider something else? And would, in fact, we do that in conjunction with any other political subdivisions or entities, et cetera? Well, that conversation and hints from me through the time, I drew the recent comment from you, I think, last week, that if we could establish it, but you had said you'd get a lot of calls as well.
Yes, and more recently, the conversation has risen from more people that are interested even in possibly help from private donation situations with the county and maybe other taxing entities if we use the swimming pool and exercise program, maybe with approaching the senior board for some assistance in that also. So,
well, what I would like to do, what I'd like to suggest, is that we consider the appointment of a committee. There are a number of people who have expressed interest in such a committee, and let them work with the Parks Board or any other agency within the county system that would be appropriate, and to come back to us with thoughts and ideas from the community and from other organizations. And I also have had two individuals personally who have indicated that they would be benefactors or contributors to such a facility if, in fact, it were to become a reality, and bring back to us the information that's needed for us to start a serious conversation about this.
Yes, it's in the preliminary stages now, just a conversation piece, and now that the conversation is out there in the public, it's just getting to be more and more approachable to the county commission to look at and consider this situation. So.
Brandon, any objection or comments about whether or not we put a committee together to take a look at this for us for the future?
I don't know You guys have obviously had thoughts about it. I haven't really had time to put together any words. I don't have a problem with you guys wanting to look at a committee to find out what kind of interest in private things can be done. I don't know that the county needs to be involved with doing anything like that, especially if it, I don't think it can be, I don't think it will sustain itself. And I don't think we need to be burdening tax dollars with something that won't sustain itself. But if there wants to be a committee, to, I don't have a problem with that.
What I would ask both of you is to give me a couple of names that you think might be of interest to place on the committee. There are, as I said, a number of people that have contacted me and have stated that they would be willing to serve, but I would bring those names back to you and let the three of us work on that to see if, in fact, we can do that. I'd like to do that sooner rather than later so we can start the conversation. And then if it looks positive, take the next step, start asking the community what the community feels about it. Does anybody here have any comments about this particular issue? That I see there are a couple people that came in. Pat, come on up. Come up. Please understand that we've had no formal discussions about this. Other than the unbelievable number of calls and comments that I've had in other organizations that I've
met. Okay. For the record, my name is Patricia Dooley, Kissy Mills. I do have a couple of questions, and I apologize for not having this information ahead of time. Who supports the Branson Rexplex? Is that just city funds?
I believe that's all city funds.
Okay, they don't get any funds from the county at all?
No.
Okay, that answers that question then. My next question would be, I really and truly would encourage you to get a committee together for this. I think it's something that is needed over here, not only for our children, our students, but for our seniors and everybody else. As Mr. Hausman made the statement, that's close to 14 miles, I think it is, for me to drive over there one way. And I live in Kissy Mills, so you can imagine what it is for anybody, Taneyville, Pro Tem. You know, it's just, they just can't do it. And I would really encourage a committee or a board or whatever you do to start to work on this, because I realize it's not something that's going to be done in the next year or two. But I do think it's something that we need. As it's been said, we're a first-class county, and I think it's about time we show people that we're a first-class county. And I think by providing this service would show people that we are, and that we are a caring community for everybody. So that's my only thing. That's the reason I came today, just to see where it was in the pipeline. I didn't think it was anywhere, to be honest with you. And I would encourage you to do this. I think it's very important.
You know, my comment regarding your question about whether or not we provide funding for that recplex, we do not directly. The fact that they have TIFs in place and capture hundreds of thousands of dollars of county revenues for infrastructure, for roads, for sewer, whatever they're developing, could be an indirect contribution. That's
No, I was just wondering how that was handled. That was my only question. But I could really envision, just like the Branson Recplex, something over here on the eastern side, around Forsyth, not too far east, because then you're going to lose a lot of people also. But one of the things that I really wish Branson would have done is had a indoor swimming pool. You only use the pool over there, what, three and a half months a year? And it's there empty. And myself, coming from the St. Louis area, St. Louis City, I swam for 25 years every winter in an indoor swimming pool provided by the City of St. Louis Parks Department. And I'll be honest, I swam more in the wintertime than I did in the summertime. And I think an indoor pool would really be justified for our students could use it. School buses could take the kids there. We could have a swimming team, which Branson cannot have a swimming team, I don't believe, because they don't have an indoor pool for in school time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we, Branson Recplex is just so big.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, they're pretty full up now. And mm-hmm. a lot of the people that are there travel.
Oh, yes, I know that. We have. I have friends that travel there, too.
But there are a lot that are prohibited because it is full, if I can say that.
No, it's used. And I believe if we could have one elsewhere, it would be used also.
Well, we're, as you heard, the commission has agreed. We're going to look at appointing a committee. We'll try to do that sooner rather than later and start gathering input from the community to see what they think about it as to whether or not the commission should even be looking in that direction. But we're going to take that first step and take a look.
Okay. I appreciate your time.
I can tell you, Pat, that ever since the Taney County Park Board has been in existence, you have to start somewhere. We started off small in small communities trying to help everybody in small communities. That Mr. Jack Harris, who served as our chairperson. We have had discussions about this every month or two about this very issue. Funding was something that was always thought of it as a problem at that point. But lately, and I would say within the last 6 months to a year, it's just been a lot of people that are interested that have children and grandchildren that are financially able to assist even in seeing that something like this might happen have stepped forward and visited with us and wanted us to do this committee to look into the cost, the operational cost, the benefit is already there. Everybody sees the benefit, especially for the seniors who could use it in a great way for classes, healthy. There's nothing better than the pool for seniors to exercise in and all those things. So it has been a subject. This is my 10th year, and it's been brought up every year in the park board. So hopefully we can put something together, and it may turn out that it's just, you know, totally out of sight, but it's a good thing to study and see what we can do.
And I appreciate you agreeing to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else have a comment about this particular topic? Just sent an email to see if she would come down to correct this. So if we could step past that, and then we'll come back to the drug court letter of support. Go to Brad Albritton. Mr. Albritton?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Afternoon. I'm so used to commissions being in the morning.
Here today to discuss a issue along Bee Creek in the county along Sycamore Road, near the Cozy Cove Apartments, considered Branson, but it's actually in the county. There's been some erosion on that in that creek there along Cozy Cove Apartments there. Sewer District did a project called Bee Creek Project, a large project a few years ago. And there was, I've been contacted here a few weeks ago by some people at the Cozy Cove Homeowners Association concerned about the erosion along Bee Creek there. Their feeling was that it may have been impacted when the sewer project came through. We've got an engineer looking at that, going to provide us some thought on that. In the meantime, the gentleman with Cozy Cove has done some research and found a possible funding source to do some stream bank stabilization along Bee Creek that would be a 75% grant, 25% matching funds through NRCS, the National Resource Conservation Service, if I got that acronym right. So we've decided to go ahead and had a previous conversation with John and Ms. Trousman, John Soutine, Ms. Trousman, and some phone calls back and forth between NRCS. Essentially, what we'd be doing is the flooding that occurred last year did have an impact on that stream, and we would be seeking an avenue to capture some possible grant funding to do some stream bank stabilization along Bee Creek. A letter that I have here is basically just saying the county's making application for that. When I talked to the gentleman there up at NRCS, he thought it would be better that the county actually make that application because it applies to the entire county. If the money is available, that's yet to be determined because we're actually several months past when that flooding occurred back in around August of last year. We'll have to get this application in, be the county sending it in, and then they determine if there's availability of funds. If there is, then they would assign a person to come down and take a look at what needs they have. Now, the Bee Creek is one need. The county may have other needs that were impacted along creeks last year at that time, debris that collected along bridges and things of that nature. From our research, we think this is a good place to start on correcting that. And I've got a little letter here that I can pass out. It's basically just saying that you recognize stream bank erosion and wash debris downstream that's impacted your creeks and waterways, and that you would have to take funds allocated for other uses to fix that. And this would hopefully, if they have money, allow us some grant money and have to come up with some 25% matching funds. But this does not obligate the county right now either. This just kind of gets us in the...
And, Brad, I would ask, you probably already have went that far to have you contact Randy Hayes, because there are several areas that the erosion has caused problems throughout the county. I know that some of those that were not covered with FEMA monies that have caused erosions that could be devastating in the future, especially with some of these things that are happening in the news now as far as banks washing off and things like that. And we have locations in the Branson area and in other areas that the erosion has cut back into our roads, and the creeks have caused major problems. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for sending in for some idea of what we might need. Is there a cost estimate that is there?
Not yet, but this letter does is this lets NRCS know that Taney County has a need and was impacted last year by the flooding. Mm-hmm. And once they determine if it's even feasible to have some money available, then they will send down a person, and we know Bee Creek would be one issue. I've not contacted Randy Hayes, but you know, we could
right
at that time and find out if he has other needs. And this is something that the county can look at every time there's major flooding, and you know, impacting our area. This is a form letter actually that they sent to us, and fill that thing out and get it in. That lets the state, NRCS, know that there's a need. I think this is the first process.
Are you here to inform us, or here for a motion to proceed with sending this in?
I think that a motion to approve the letter from the county to the Natural Resources Conservation Service would be in order. And the letter here is pretty self-explanatory. It states that due to the flood in 13 and what occurred here just in the last week in July. We think that there's damage. Hopefully there are funds available through this particular program. Right. Then they're going to let us know whether there is. Then we can go after some
specific funds. Right. And I'm going to make that motion now pertaining to this.
Motion in front of us then is that we're requesting NRCS assistance through the letter that was provided by Brad Albrin to the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
So moved.
Are we requesting assistance or are we requesting that the letter be sent out so we could receive assistance?
Well, the letter says we request NRCS assistance to make repairs and to clean up debris.
Okay.
I could go into a little more this is their form letter. Essentially, if money is available, county will work with them to identify projects. We will be creating one of them.
Right.
The county could provide their own road and bridge to do some of the work. There's that possibility. NRCS basically does all the engineering and design, and once that's done and permitting, and this is under nationwide permitting, so it's a little easier, then the county is just responsible for the construction and maybe a little bit of oversight. So my involvement, being at the sewer district, was the possibility of that sewer line and that project that was done in 09 impacting the creek. You'll notice on the letter that this is actually coming from Mr. Hausman as presiding commissioner, care of John Soutee as the Tannehill County Environmental Services. In my opinion, that might be the best way to handle that, John.
You know, as Brad had stated earlier, we talked about this, and I had thought perhaps the best agency for it to come from would be the sewer district, but we were advised that the county would be the agency.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the letter for NRCS assistance to the Natural Resources Conservation Service as presented. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. I'll set this up on letterhead, and we'll get you a copy and get this out, or let you get it out, whichever, ASAP.
I'll send you an electronic copy of this. And
send it to Shanna.
Yeah, or send it to Shanna. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Anything else? Let me look.
No, not.
Have I got you? Anything else on the sewer? No. Thank you. Very much.
Well, I'd ask for a 5-minute recess.
Let's stand in recess for just a few minutes.